Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, the 7th chapter. Romans chapter 7, page 1200. That's 1200 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Beginning with verse 15, we'll read to verse 22. Concerning that little story a while ago, I have no defense whatever. I spoke out of my head. Preacher says, I hope you enjoy the couch tonight. That's if I get in the house. But I deserve it. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the scripture? For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And the text verse is that 18th verse. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. What a blessed joy it is always to be among thy people, good people, godly people. Be a part of the greatest church ever to stand upon this earth. We thank you for our preacher. He makes it all function. And how we all look up to him. And we pray that you bless him tonight as he comes once again to give us something that we need from thee. Continue to give him wisdom. Bless us with the desire to hear and to obey thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to open your Bibles again, please. Romans chapter 7. I want to set something straight about this chapter that I think most folks do not understand. Before I ask you to read it, I'm going to chat with you about 6 seconds and then pray. I then read the scripture to you, and then pray and bring the message. Now, I say before I do this, this is that I told the fellows a while ago, I outlined this sermon, wasn't satisfied with it, and outlined it again, wasn't satisfied with it, outlined it again, wasn't satisfied with it. So I'm preaching an outline I'm not satisfied with. I'm satisfied with the truth I'm going to teach. I'm not sure I have it bundled as I would like to have it bundled, so you'll have to listen real, real carefully. But first, let me start with verse 15 of Romans chapter 7. Before I do that, look at me now. I told you I wasn't organized. Listen carefully to me. There's a certain kind of feeling about Romans 7. Is that Paul was saying, I can't do good. There's a battle going on, and I want to do good, but I can't do good. That's not true. Paul was not helpless here. Paul could have done good. And I want to show you what I'm talking about. Verse 15. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, see, that means he could have done it. That I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I, it is, would not. He said, I could will to do it, but I don't will to do it. He said, I would not. I consent to the law that it is good. Now, then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. for that, get this now, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, doeth no good thing. Oh, this is the title of my sermon. For the will is present with me. Look at me. He said, I could do what I ought to do if I would do it. The will is present with me. Don't you throw your hands up and say, I've tried to do good, but I can't. Oh, yes, you can, too. Yes, you can. In any given instance, you can have the victory and you can choose to do good. Now, you're going to lose some rounds, but that's because you choose to lose those rounds. But you can still choose to win the fight. So Paul said, the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Get this now. For the good that I would, that word would means will, I could will to do it. He said, I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, there it is again, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now then, I want to talk to you tonight on that little line, the will is present with me. I hope you listen very carefully. Father, bless me as I speak, and our people as they hear, and accomplish something in our lives tonight. Help us to leave tonight, not only having been fed, but having been changed, helped, improved, yes, even help us to grow some tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's jump into it. I'm going to make several statements to start off with. First, most of our problems are caused by emotions determining the will rather than the will determining the emotions. Did you hear what I said? Most of our problems are caused by the emotions determining what we choose to do rather than what we choose to do determining the emotions. Paul said, the will is present with me. And so in Romans chapter 7, he talks about a battle that's going on against that will. There are two areas, the will and the emotions, going on all the time. And as I said a while ago, Paul was certainly not helpless in all this. Paul said, what I would do, means I could do it, if I'd chosen. I find myself letting my emotions or my senses, if you please, have the power over the will rather than my will having the power over my senses. So we choose in which we will live, the will or the emotions. Hear me carefully now, and don't get mad at me. I'm saying we choose in what area we're going to live, the will or the emotions. Several observations. Both are desirable. I believe in emotion. I think emotion has a great part of Christianity. And I believe in it. And I would not want a Christianity void of emotion. But the Christian life must be lived in the will and not in the emotions. For example, Revelation 22:17, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. You will to become a child of God. Your emotions don't lead you to become a child of God. Your will leads you to the emotions realizing you are a child of God. You are lost, my Bible said, because of your will. John 5:40 said, you will not come unto me that you may have life. So if you're a Christian tonight, you became a Christian by the exercising of your will. Something didn't hit you one day out of the sky, knock you down, drag you down the altar. You decided to become a child of God. And if you're lost tonight on your way to hell, it's not the fact that God has not given you the acceptable time yet. And it's not the fact that your time has not come. You have willed not to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You get saved by realizing I am a sinner. I am lost and bound for hell. I realize that Jesus paid the price for my sin, and I will trust him as my Savior. Would you say, how do you feel? Doesn't matter how do you feel. It's whom do you trust is what it is. And you get the place where you understand that you're a sinner, you're bound for hell, you're lost, but that God in the flesh, and that's what Christmas is all about, not some little doll in a manger somewhere. It's about the very God of gods becoming flesh, God Emmanuel, God with us, if you please, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When you say, I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm on my way to hell, I know that Jesus came, born a virgin, lived a perfect life, but took upon himself my sin and paid the penalty for my sin, and I know he did that, and I will trust him as my Savior. Spurgeon used to say, the elect of the whosoever wills and the non-elect of the whosoever wants. And if you're not saved tonight, it's not because God has not knocked you down and hit your emotion. It's because you have willed to go to hell. If you die and go to hell, you choose to die and go to hell. And by your will, you will to go to hell. If you go to heaven, it'll be because you stop someday between your birth and your death, and you say, it's time I looked at this thing square in the eyeball. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. Jesus paid my penalty, and I will rely upon him to take me to heaven when I die. Then where comes the emotion? Where does it come from? Hear me carefully. Emotion, that is Bible emotion, comes from the realization of what has happened. I look at it. I love that story I tell about that businessman in Brooklyn, New York. Owned a store there. Most of the members traded at the store. He was a strong Catholic man. And most of the people traded there in that nice neighborhood store. To their surprise, he came to hear me preach. He said, I understand he has the largest Sunday school in the world, and I want to see what it looks like. And I want to tell you right now, brother, it's worth your trip to come to see what I look like. But he said, I want to listen. So he came, sat back in the back in a folding chair, leaned up a little bit against the back wall, put his arms like that, and I preached my sermon on duty. He walked down the aisle. I said, emotion for me. I went down. And I said, sir, what is it? He said, I'm going to be saved tonight. And I said, well, boy, these folks will be happy about this. I said, what made you want to get saved? He said, you said tonight it is my duty to get saved. I'm an honest man. I pay my debts. If it's my duty to get saved, I'm going to do my duty. Now you listen to me. If you're not a child of God tonight, you're shirking your duty. You're living on a world that God made. You're breathing air that God gave. You're drinking water that God gave. You're eating food that God has given you. And you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And if you do your duty tonight, you'll trust the Savior and will to go to heaven when you die. A little outline I've used. Let me say this first. Emotion should come from realization. Emotion should follow realization. All of a sudden, I will to become a child of God. You don't shout in order to get saved. You shout because you're saved. And all of a sudden it dawns on me that I will to become a child of God. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I became a child of God. My name is written in heaven. My sins are forgiven. My sins are brought out of the book. His righteousness is there in all my record. And that makes me real, real happy. That's the kind of emotion. It's not this charismatic emotion that comes from some song beat. It's God's emotion that comes from the realization of what God has done for me. Illustrate a little outline. Facts, faith, feeling. It is not feeling, facts, and faith. It is facts. You've got to know that you're a sinner. You've got to know that you're under condemnation of God. You've got to know that you're lost and on your way to a Christless eternity. You've got to know that Jesus paid that price for you. You've got to know that if you trust him, and you will become a child of God. Facts, faith, and feeling. For illustration, to some folks, a tune or a beat brings their emotion. That is not Bible music. To me, the words bring emotion. To me, the message brings emotion. to some, soft music gets them in a worshipful mood. This book gets me in a worshipful mood. I love good specials. I love them. And I enjoy these little, I call them Colston biddings. As Colston puts on the end, you know. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. You know, all those little ditties on the end. They're cute and they're sweet and I like them. But the thing that stirs me is what does the song say? My emotion comes from realizing blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. My emotion comes, I realize I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungry and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, it's just going to be the old, old story that I love so. Now, those words stir me. I love the tune of Blessed Assurance. I don't mind Blessed Assurance if it's a little arrangement here and there, but it's not the arrangement that stirs me to emotion, though I may enjoy the arrangement. It is the message that I have the blessed assurance that I am a child of God. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Oh, to great, how great a grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to thee. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts of love. That's what makes me want to shout. Not some little, now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about it. That doesn't move me at all, brother. These little talks with Jesus, I can beat that. How about an all-night prayer meeting? How about an hour of talking with God? Our country is building churches that are growing all this nation, built on emotion and not on the will. Ladies and gentlemen, any emotion that's not built on the will is not God's emotion and not Bible emotion. I fell in love with Bill Burr. Well, we led gets across the country. I was in Princeton, West Virginia. I'd never met Bill Burr. Bill Burr stood to sing, he led the singing. He sang a solo. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. Isn't that beautiful? I said, isn't that beautiful? Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. Bill sang that song through, just like it was in the book. Never changed it a bit, and sang it through. Now, don't misunderstand me. If he had put that little Colston ditty on the end, I wouldn't have minded that at all. But that little Colston ditty is just a lot of fun. The main message is, majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. I was in Washington the other day preaching. In Pasco. And a fella gets up and he sings for a special before I preach. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. That's an invitation song. He sang it exactly as it was written. He didn't change a bit of it. And my heart was thrilled because of the message of the song. I thank God it doesn't take a little to make me happy. It takes up. Here it is to make me happy. I can will, hear me carefully, I can will to become emotional. Emotion ought to be on purpose. For example, a Blackwell back there, he got that scripture, God loves a cheerful giver. Then that word cheerful means hilarious giver. And so every time Blackwell gives an offering, which is once every few months, but every time he gives an offering, he'll say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. Now, he wills to do that. I wouldn't give you 10 cents for this Christianity where you're rolling down the aisle, talking about your tongues. Nobody has it. You give me the truth of this blessed old book, ladies and gentlemen. Let emotion come from the will and not emotion decide the will. You decide what you do. And then once you've done it, you look at the grace of God and the goodness of God and let the awareness of what you've done, your will leads you into rejoicing because of the truth. You say, well, how does that put on? Well, check it in the Bible. The Bible says, Paul said, put on the new man. Put off the old man. That's divorce grounds right there. Put off the old man. But anyway, anybody home tonight? Put on the new man. Now, I know, hear me carefully, I know what to think about to become emotional. I know what stirs my emotions. It is not put on, it is genuine. But you say, Brother Hiles, you're saying then that you can decide? Oh, yes, you do that. Hear me carefully. You decide to get scared. You decide to go to one of these amusement parks. You know you're going to get scared. Now, you're not putting on when you holler and scream when that loopity-loop goes round and round. Now that, what do you call them? Roller coaster, yeah. Last time I went to an amusement park was 20 years ago. I told the driver of the bus, I feel like a woman feels like before she has a baby, I think. I'm literally scared to death. Now, you say, you know why you go there? You go to get scared. Now, is it hypocritical when you get scared? No, sir. You knew what scares you. Well, I happen to know what inspires me. I know what makes me happy. I can be happy anytime I want to because I know what to think about to make me happy. You will to lust. You know when you pick that magazine off the shelf what response you're going to have to those dirty pictures. You know. You are deciding to lust. Oh, why can't I decide to get happy by reading the book? You will to weep. You folks that go to movies, you choose a sad movie because you will to weep. You choose to weep. Now, you don't just weep hypocritically. You know what makes you weep, and you choose what makes you weep. And that's one reason why I can get happy if I want to anytime I want to because I know what makes me happy. I can get sad anytime I want to because I know what makes me sad. I refuse to turn my actions over to a bunch of emotions and external stimuli. Bless God, I will decide what when to shout on the basis of reality, and I will. Rather than my emotions. You come to our little condominium tonight, you'll find one of these beautiful plants out in front of our door. You'll find a nice little doojigger up here. You'll find a Santa Claus there. As you go by him, he starts singing. I hate him. You walk in. We have a beautiful Christmas tree. You folks who don't believe in Christmas trees and don't have one. Beautiful Christmas tree. And we have a wreath out on our little enclosed balcony. And we have so this house has made so many things. You know why? She decided that we want to get in the Christmas spirit. She willed to do it. All of a sudden, one day, nothing hit. That wasn't something hit. Well, hallelujah. Oh, I just feel the Christmas spirit. I think I'll put some decorations up. No, sir. The decorations are there because she chose to be in the Christmas spirit. Are you listening to me? You folks are playing around these charismatic churches because they got some excitement. Excitement's not it, brother. The truth is it, and excitement because of the truth. I can decide to be emotional. I know what to think about to become emotional. I refuse to put my emotions in other people's hands. A non-emotional person is a non-thinking person and a non-disciplined person because when you have you're in charge of your emotions, you decide what. That's one reason why when I have a funeral, that's why the night before the funeral, I drive by the person's house and sit out in front of the house of the dear ones whose loved one has passed away, and I hurt for them and pray for God to bless them. I'm trying to get myself in the emotional shape to preach the funeral sermon on the next day. I'm trying to say, I refuse to turn my emotions over to a billboard beside the highway or a television set in front of me or something I read. I am going to control my emotions, and if I get happy, I get happy on purpose because I have chosen to do so because I know what makes me happy. I was preaching the camp meeting, Brother Wally. You can get up in the camp meeting and say, I love the devil, and they'll all holler amen. Boy, they were happy. Everybody's rolling the aisles. So I decided to try something. I was preaching long, and I said, I love Jesus. Boy, they started hollering and screaming. I said, Jesus is wonderful. Amen. Yes, he is. Amen. That's right. That's what it said. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said, Jesus is so wonderful. He saves by grace. Amen. 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 I said, yes, and baptism saves. Amen. 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 I said, good works save. Amen. 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 I said, Jesus saves us if we earn it. Amen. 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 I said, the Holy Sacrament saves. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I whispered, for by grace is saved through faith, and it's like Episcopalian funeral service. Now you listen carefully to me. Don't you get the place to where a beat, an enthusiasm, uninformed, causes you to get happy. You get happy because your name is written in heaven. That's what Jesus said. He said, don't let you have it happen because the demons are subject to me, to you. I can't get the demons subject. I can't get the deacons subject to me. But get happy. Why? Because your name is written in heaven. That's what it's talking about. Alan Domery, one of our evangelists, is back here tonight, asked me a question of the day in an appointment we had. He said, how do you keep your heart warm? Miles Howe, after 74 years of living, 53 years of pastoring, preaching over 6,000 to 7,000 sermons, how do you keep your heart warm? I answered this. I decide to keep my heart warm by disciplined thoughts. I decide to keep my heart warm by disciplined thoughts. Ephesians chapter 4. Last few verses say, be ye angry. That's a command. He says, get angry. Well, but you say, you're supposed to all of a sudden decide to get angry? I can't just get mad to drop the hat. Then don't drop the hat. Think a while. I won't preach on the devil. I think about what a sorry rascal he is for a while. Dolph Shays. Dolph Shays was a National Basketball Association All-Star many years ago. At one time, he held the all-time points, total points record for the NBA. Dolph Shays said, and I read this in the paper, he said, before I go to a game to play, I sit down and I think for a while. He said, here's what I think. Out there on that court right now, there's a fellow practicing. He's been assigned to guard me tonight. He guards me. His job is to keep me from making points. I don't make any points. I lose my position on the team. I lose my position on the team. All this he's thinking about before the game alone. I lose my position on the team. I lose my job. I lose my job. I lose my salary. I lose my salary. I can't support my family. If I can't support my family, my wife and kids starve. While that dirty, stinking idiot out there, he's trying to kill my wife and my family. Let me at him! Let me at him! That's exactly what I'm talking about. The disciplined mind and the disciplined will and the disciplined thoughts, I don't turn it on and off, but I know what does turn it on and off. And that's why God said there's sometimes you ought to get mad. You ought to get mad because they're killing a million babies in America. You ought to get mad because a bunch of liberals are trying to destroy this country. You ought to get mad because they're trying to take the guns away from our houses and let the cooks all have the guns. You ought to get mad because the dope traffic and the liberty traffic is running rampant. You ought to get mad because of the wickedness and liberalism and atheism. You ought to get mad because there's no Bible in our public school, but decide to get mad and do it for the will. So, what can I will to do? If I'm supposed to live with the will, not with emotions, what can I will to do? Hear me carefully. How many times you heard me say this? You can will to do everything God commands you to do. God never commands you to do something that you cannot will to do. It was 1945. I was in a DC-7 plane, 1,200 feet up in the air, a parachute on my back, a full-field pack on my front. Now then, they got a full-field pack on my back and on my front. But I had a full-field pack on. I was standing in the door of the airplane, and the sergeant said, "Ready? Go! I'm ready to jump. Ready? Jump!" Now, I will to jump. I could jump or I could not jump. Now, when God says ready to jump, that means you can jump. Because God would not tell you to do something that you could not will to do. There's a black, little black fellow. I don't think I'm being a racist. I'm being truthful. He was in front of me first. He was supposed to jump. And he's supposed to put your hand on the side of the plane, just outside the plane. Like that. The ball of your foot just on the exit place where the floor of the plane becomes space. Bend your knees slightly. And the sergeant said, and you're supposed to look out. Don't look down. You won't jump if you look down. Look at the horizon. He said, the black ball was your first one. The sergeant said, ready? I stand in the door. He stood in the door. The little black ball put his hand like that. The sergeant said, check the equipment. We checked the equipment of all of the fellow in front of us. Sergeant said, count. Oh, 18 okay, 17 okay, 16 okay, 15 okay, 14 okay, 13 okay, 12 okay, 11 okay, 10 okay, 9 okay, 8 okay, 7 okay, 6 okay, 5 okay, 4 okay, 3 okay, 2 okay, 1 okay. We're all about to jump. And the sergeant asked the dumbest question asked in humanity. Is everybody happy? Think that one through a while. All you got is a folded-up skirt on your back. And the little black boy was standing there. But he made a mistake. He looked down. Now, I'm not making fun of your accent. I'm telling you how you talk. He said to the sergeant, no, sir. I ain't going to go. I ain't going to go. Sergeant said, ready? Go! He willed not to go. Now, he could have gone. He willed not to go. Sergeant took him back. Later on, put him in the door of the plane again. Ready? Go! He made a mistake. He looked down. His eyes began to roll. He said, no, sir, I ain't going to go. I saw four sergeants and three lieutenants push, command, kick, and pry that little 135-pound black boy, and he still hasn't made his first jump. They put me in the door after he couldn't jump. Ready? Jump. Now, I will to jump. He did not will to jump. And in a Christian life, you will to do what God says to do. When God says to you, be not conformed to this world, you can will not to be conformed to this world. And quit blaming upon God. Oh, Lord, help me. Don't bother God with that. Put your drink in yourself. Put your smoke in yourself. The guy said to me, Brother Hiles, how can I quit lying? I said, the best we do is start telling the truth. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, my people can will to turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Now, follow me carefully. Ready? God says, love your wife. Didn't say love your lovable wife. Didn't say love your skinny wife. Amen. Didn't say love your sweet wife. Ready? Love your wife. That means you can will to love your wife. You can choose to love your wife. Ready? Love your enemies, God says. That means you can will to love your enemies. Ready? Love not the world. Ready? Obey your parents. Ready? Wives, submit yourself to your husband. Ready? Be a kind one to another. Ready? Go in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ready? Present your body as a living sacrifice. Ready? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Ready? Forgive one another. You may not win every round, but bless God, you can win the fight. You may not win every inning, but you can win the game because God has... The will is present with me. The will is present with me. The will to become a Christian is present with me. The will to present my body a living sacrifice, that's present with me. So don't have your will wait for your emotions to order it. You have your emotions wait for your will. Don't have your emotions turn your will on. Have your will turn your emotions on. I tell this story the first and third Sunday of every month. But I've got to tell it because it's a perfect illustration. And I'll be through. The name was Davis. One name. Lived on the north side of Garland, Texas. Another name was a fellow named Winfred Brewer. No. That's his brewer. Lived on Freeman Street in Garland, Texas. It was Thursday night. I went soul winning with a buddy, partner. Knocked on the door of the fellow on north side. Told him how to be saved. He began to jump up and down. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. I said, wait a minute. Let me show you what it says here. Oh, I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. I'd rather have it than feel it rather than feel it and not have it. He ran in, got his wife, said, come in. Come out here. I want you to feel what I feel. She came out and felt what he felt. We had a hallelujah old-fashioned Pentecostal camp meeting. The next visit was to Mr. Brewer's house. He came to the door. I said, my name is Jack Hiles. I introduced my partner. He said, come on in. He leaned against the door like this, folded his arms, said, have a seat. We had a seat. He said, what do you want? I said, we've come to tell you something wonderful. Do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? No, I don't. Would you like to know? Yes, I would. If I showed you how you could know, would you do it? Yeah. I didn't even want him to get saved. I said, here's what you got to know. I told him the plan. I said, you know you're a sinner? Yep. You know you're going to hell if you died? Yep. You know, Jesus, virgin born, sinless life, paid the penalty of your sins on the cross? Yep. You believe that you trust him as your Savior tonight, his Savior? Yep. I was beginning to doubt my own salvation. I said, could I pray for you? Yep. I said, dear God, I didn't even believe God would save him. I said, save this man. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I said, now, would you pray this prayer for me? Yep. I put some motion. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. I'm lost. I'm on the way to hell. I'm lost. I'm on the way to hell. But thank God Jesus died for me. Thank God Jesus died for me. I want to kick him in the pants. Ain't no fun. Fun comes later. I said the fun comes later. I said, would you pray this prayer? Yep. Oh God. Oh God. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He got me praying. I said, now, did you trust the Savior? Yep. Are you sure? Yep. Would you go to heaven if you died? Yep. You sure you're not going to go to hell? Yep. I walked out of that place. I wouldn't have given you a dime for salvation. Oh, by the way, and the Davis family, they lasted about 4 weeks. Brewer, he's still shouting. He became a deacon 45 years ago. He is still a Baptist deacon, and he's still shouting. Why? Facts, faith, feeling.
the emotions are commanded and governed by the will. I know what God has done. I know what I have. And whoopee! That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about tonight. The will is present with me. And the secret to the Christian life is the will. So, you can become a Christian tonight if you will. I don't feel it. Didn't have to feel it. Feeling is an emotion in the heart that comes from a signal from the head. And the heart should never tingle till the head gives it permission. So I sit here, as I did out in Washington, fellow sings, "Pass me not, O General Savior, hear my humble cry. While another's out calling, do not pass me by." And I stop and realize, thank God he didn't pass me by. The verse said, "Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow." And brother, it wasn't a tune, it wasn't a beat, it wasn't the tingle in the spine. It was the realization, bless God, majestic sweetness sets in throne upon the Savior's brow. Come thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. There's a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go me? Listen, go free. Let me tell you something. Let's have an emotional church. But let that emotion be obedient to our wills. When we stop and realize how good God is, our names are written in heaven. We're children of God. The Bible's our book. Heaven's our home. God's our Father. Jesus our Savior. Holy Spirit our Comforter. And I'm bound for the promised land. On that basis, have a spell. The will is present with me. I can decide because the will is present. Paul said, sometimes I don't do what I should, but I could. For the will is present with me. Sometimes I do what I shouldn't, but don't have to. For the will is present with me. Tonight, you let your will take over your life. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a book. I sit down and read this book sometime by myself, and I come across a verse, and I find myself jumping up and down in my study, praising God because of a truth that I found. Oh my God, tonight, give us the reality, the truth, and live that truth. And the will to do it and obey it. Give permission to our emotions to exercise. Amen. Shall we stand? The choir will sing.